Tonight's gospel comes from St. Mark, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark 14, verses 12 through 26 can be found on page 1579 in your pew Bible. Mark records, "On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, 'Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?' So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, 'Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, "The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples left, and they went into the city, and they found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Mercy is not exactly a word that we hear or use every day. If you were walking on the pier at Huntington Beach and you heard somebody exclaim, "Lord, have mercy," you might see more than a few people turn to see just what kind of person would say such a thing in public. Now, on the other hand, we say it in this church all the time. We say, "Lord, have mercy upon us," or, "Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." That was good soup. Stay with me. "Lord, in your mercy, amen." So, when we use these words, we echo the blind men. The stories of the blind men who came to Jesus to receive their sight. We read that in Matthew 9, and again on another occasion in Luke chapter 18. We all come, every one of us, into this world with spiritual blindness because of sin, our sin. And when we praise God with a cry for mercy, we ask Him to forgive, number one, our sin, and number two, to restore our spiritual sight. Now, when we come to God for mercy, we are confessing that Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is our Lord because we belong to Him. We are bought and paid for with His blood, ransomed and redeemed out of the kingdom of darkness to live under Him in His kingdom of light. So the words, "Lord, have mercy on us," they are both praise and they are prayer, acclamation and petition. And with these words, we welcome Him, we confess Him as Lord, and we pray for His gracious help. Now, you already know this, but you have come to the right place at the right time tonight to welcome Jesus as He comes in both word and sacrament. We have come to the right place to receive His mercy, and He has plenty of it to give to us. And on this special night, we remember how He gave His mercy to His beloved church in a very, well, in an exceptional way. And tonight we remember the night that Christ founded the sacrament of the altar, in which he feeds us with his broken body, and he gives us his holy, precious blood to drink. This night, then, is the beginning of the last phase of our deliverance, the beginning of our 3-day journey with Jesus. We go from his arrest in the garden to Pilate's judgment hall, then to the place of the skull, through to his cross and death, and then to his glorious resurrection. Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Day. You know, it sounds like 4 days, doesn't it? But by biblical reckoning, it is really only 3 days. For we know that the Jews begin each day at the setting of the sun, and anything that happens after sundown is part of the next day. So then by that calculation, then it is a 3-day journey we commence this Monday, Thursday evening. By that calculation then, it is the beginning of the day that would end in our Savior's death. And it all started with a meal. We have heard the words so often. Perhaps some of you can recite them in your sleep. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And in a few minutes, we will once again approach the altar and receive with our mouths the very bread of heaven. And under this earthly bread that we break and the cup that we bless, we will eat and we will drink the flesh and the blood of Jesus. And when we do, we will follow his last will and testament when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Luke 22:19. In this sacrament, the Lamb of God has left us a memorial of his mercy. It's a memorial far, far different than any other. If we were to go and visit the great battlefields of the world, we would find elaborate monuments to celebrate the valor and the sacrifice of the soldiers who died there. Were you to visit the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., you would be dwarfed by an impressive image of the great emancipator. But these are all memorials to the dead. Now contrast this. The Lord Jesus is the Lamb who was once slain, but is now alive forever. And the memorial that he instituted is not a monument, but it's a meal. And in this eating and in this drinking, we actively recall, we recite, and we rehearse his saving mercy. Now, some people think, they might ask, "Well, what good is that? Give me something I can use, Jesus." They might say, "I could use some pointers on how to get along in this world. I could use some advice on how to be happy and successful. I could use some instructions on how to find my way through the confusion and turmoil since my life has become a mess. But mercy? What good is that?" And that is our problem. Well, it is one of our problems. You see, God sends us his gifts. And we have a tendency that we keep trying to mark them return to sender, or want to take them back ourselves and exchange them for something that perhaps we like better? Is there anything that is better than mercy? Can you think of anything better than His mercy? It is in His mercy that God opens up His heart to the world. He's sending forth the pure and holy Lamb of God to be slaughtered in our place. With His mercy, it is His mercy in action that we see Jesus on that cross. And as a result of His mercy, you and I do not receive the penalty that we deserve. Instead, God's own Son took it upon Himself. That is the gift. That gift is Jesus and His death. That is mercy. This gift is at the heart of the New Testament meal, the sacrament of the altar. And again, talk about being in the right place, at the right time, for the right table, for the right meal. Thank you, Jesus. And we know that there have been memorial meals before this one. We've read about them. The night that Jesus was betrayed, He gathered in that upper room with His disciples to commemorate the exodus of God's people Israel from the slavery that they had under Pharaoh. It was the Lord's Passover. We know that God had given elaborate instructions to His people for the preparation of this feast. And the entree was lamb. But not just any ordinary lamb. A lamb that was without blemish or defect. That was God's instructions. And so every time they ate that meal, the Israelites ate it in remembrance of the Lord and His mercy. It was a meal full of hope, full of promise, but hope and promise under the very threat of death. You know, that first night in Egypt when God set His people free, it was in the midst of imminent danger, wasn't it? For we know in every household in Egypt, the firstborn of man and beast would die. Except where the blood of a sacrificial lamb marked the door. And at those houses, the deadly plague passed over, sparing all who were within. So on that night of their deliverance, God's people Israel ate that first Passover with mixed emotions, with gratitude for sure, and joy, but tinged with dread. For the angel of death was passing overhead. Imagine a banquet given in your honor, but with small arm fire whizzing past and cracking over your head. These people knew that they had received mercy. They had been miraculously delivered from sure and certain death. This then was Israel's Passover, the Old Testament sacramental meal of deliverance. And in that meal, God's people dined on the body of the very animal that gave them life by dying in their place. It was a communion of sorts, a communion in the body that died to save. Now, in the meal that we will eat tonight, there is a communion as well. But it is a communion of a living body, the body of the Lamb of God, who has mercy on us. You see, Jesus intervened to rescue us from slavery to sin and to death. And He became a curse for us and died upon the cross, giving His body and shedding His blood for the remission of our sins. Now you will receive a Passover meal tonight that delivers you your own portion of the Lamb's blood, that paints you from the inside, that saves you from sin, death, and the devil, and it gives you eternal life. Once again, talk about being in the right place at the right time with exactly the right meal. Thank you, Jesus. And as Israel once dined on the flesh that revealed God's mercy and gave them life or death, so the church continually dines on the flesh and the blood that rescued us once and for all. We do this every Sunday because Jesus tells us to. On this Monday, Command Thursday, he tells us, do this in remembrance of me. Now, St. Paul drives this home when he calls the Lord Jesus our Passover Lamb. That's in the letter to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And those lambs who gave their lives as the antidote to death in Egypt were only a dress rehearsal for the real thing. And at the cross, we know that the true Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, gave his body and he shed his blood as a ransom price for the entire world. And so, tonight at the Lord's table, you and I are given yet again a front row seat in the great drama that won our salvation. There's that old song that asks, were you there when they crucified my Lord? It is a sweet thought, but it must remain forever figurative. For the plain fact is that you and I weren't there, and we can't go to the cross. But tonight, the cross comes to us. And while we cannot go to Jesus, he comes to us. He comes to us first in our baptism, and now repeatedly every Sunday, he comes to us in his Holy Supper. The Lamb who shed his blood that we might live says to us, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. In this sacred memorial meal, he does more than ask us to remember him. He himself actively recalls and gives us once again the fruits of his love and all of the benefits of his saving death, as he says to us, take, eat, this is my body, which was given for you. And those two little words, for you, bring us confidence and consolation in this hour. For God's love is no shadowy abstraction or some warm, fuzzy feeling. It is real. And now sin, death, and hell have been overcome since Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Now we may know for certain that we are not alone in this world, that all the burdens and sorrows of life that threaten to overwhelm us can never rob us of the love of God in Christ our Lord. His love, you see, his love is big enough to include the whole sorrowing, hurting world. But it is precise enough. His love is personal enough to address each and every one of us individually. God's love is not a generic to whom it may concern. No, his love is for you, where you are, wherever you are. And talk about being in the right place at the right time with the right God. In this supper, the Lord of heaven and earth hands you his love on a platter. He doesn't give you a symbol or an emblem of his love, but the true substance of his love. The very flesh once offered on the cross, the perfect lamb without blemish or spot, who freely laid down his life so that you might live. His is a love that you can sink your teeth into in this supper. His blood, which cleanses you from all sin, he gives you to drink in his cup of salvation. Mercy. That is what we need. And that is exactly what the Lamb of God brings to us. For whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's Paul to the church in Corinth again. So be at peace this night. Death and destruction may loom and lurk on every side, but everything that troubles you and all that robs you of your happy is eclipsed tonight in this banquet feast of love. Tonight, heaven intersects with earth at this altar, and in this eating and drinking, we have a foretaste of the feast to come, the wedding banquet of the Lamb and his beloved bride. Jesus promised in Revelation, "Yes, I am coming soon." Amen, we respond. Come, Lord Jesus, we reply. Come soon. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.